August 14, 2022. It's the Watt from Pedro show.
Well, there are things I learned from Miles. It's hard to put them into words, but there are things of the musician needs to know. And you can hear it, although it's hard for me to put it into words, but on hearing it, I sometimes can try to bring it out in my form. I learned quite a bit there.
We'll be right back.
Watt for Pedro show started off with John Coltrane in 1966 trying to explain to Kazuaki Tsujimoto what he learned from Miles Davis. Then we had Supplemental Pills with Run On, which brings us to our guest.
How's it going,
Meredith. And your Pride Supplemental Pills. But let's get to learn about your trip with music.
Yeah.
Please bring your earliest memory.
Oh, my earliest memory would be probably sitting around my room at home growing up with a Fisher-Price turntable and listening to, like, the Clash and Duran Duran records and that kind of thing.
Okay. And was this pad you in have musical instruments?
We didn't really have... Neither of my parents really played a musical instrument, so I think my older brother was playing guitar at some point, and so I would sit around and with the guitar player magazines that he was getting, I'd sing like the Guns N' Roses, and he'd play guitar, or Van Halen, like Panama. I remember doing that a lot.
So your brother taught you stuff on the guitar?
Well, I was more like singing at that point. He was learning the guitar, so I remember doing that at probably like 7, 8, 9.
What about grade school? Were you in the marching band or choir, shit like that?
I was in fourth grade. I joined the elementary school band and I played the trumpet.
Trumpet?
Yeah.
How'd you like that?
I like it quite a bit. I continued playing until middle school, until about eighth grade, and then I started to get into guitar, and I thought that the trumpet was lame. So just typical city boy crap, you know?
Well, you missed the phase when ska was happening, because that's when all the brass guys got to be in rock bands for a little bit.
Yeah, right? Yeah, I know, right. I never really got into ska too much, but
it was only a little period. Didn't last long, right? Sometime in the 90s.
Yeah, maybe there's some truth in that. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if you base it on, like, Vans Warped Tour. I mean, there was a thing with fucking swing bands, too, for a little bit, right?
Yeah, that was big, and there was a band or two around the Pacific Northwest that was kind of into that, too, that kind of propelled it, you know.
Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
That's right.
I remember
who changed their
style,
you know. They used to be one thing, and then they went into that, and I think they just wrote it out to the sunset.
I'm going to tell you about that. I met a guy in that band. He told me, what? When Gap makes the ad, it's over. And so they were doing like a New York Dolls thing by that time.
Yeah.
So watch it win the fucking Gap at. So it don't sound like you're man alone. You got the whole band there with you? Supplemental?
No, I just got, well, not the whole band. We got Mark Folkrod, our drummer, and then Aaron Christensen, our bass player.
Okay. So three of you guys. So we should learn about their fucking thing, too. I mean, how did Bass Man get on the bass?
I put an ad in the newspaper trading a guitar that I bought a year before. I was maybe like 13, 14 years old. And, just put an ad in for saying for sale or trade for guitar or for bass. And someone came over the old PV Fury and I traded an Ibanez guitar for it.
You were playing guitar first.
Yeah, I was playing with some other people and, we didn't have a bass player. So I don't know. And I always wanted to play bass. And so that was, I guess the catalyst that threw me into
Well, there's a lot of cats to get work, you know. People like Carole Kaye and Joe Osborne, and they were guitar players, and they were chasing the work. One guy who actually came from bass was James Jamerson. He actually came from the stand-up. The electric bass, you know, in the early 60s was very strange, you know, to a lot of people.
Right.
But, we owe a lot to those cats here, pioneers. So, so what kind of amp did you get? You couldn't use that guitar amp anymore, right?
Yeah, I think the first amp I had, it was also a PV, it was a keyboard / bass amp, I think. But it was, you know, early 80s model.
I had one in 80, 70, actually 78, 79, 80. I think it was called the 400. It had 215s and 300 watts. It sounded like paranoid. That minute right. And what about learning bass? You had already learned some shit on the guitar, right?
Yeah, there's always a guitar around the house, like an old nylon string guitar, a junky steel string or something. But And I played trumpet as well, so transitioning to bass, I don't know, I wouldn't say it was easy, but it wasn't that foreign to me, I guess, you know, because I'd already played guitar a little bit, and I kind of was shown some basic chords on piano and stuff when I was younger.
Left hand on the piano, right?
And it was a fun transition, too, because it seems like someone, you know, there's always someone that wants needs the bass player. Not as in demand as drumming, I guess.
Well, no, I'm telling you, that's in the old days, a lot of guitar guys came over because that's no one wanted to rock the bass.
Right.
It changed with punk movement. And who else is there? The drummer?
Yeah, man, this is Mark.
Hey, Mark, how'd you get on the fucking drums?
Because of the Rolling Stones.
Okay.
You know, my mom had a friend who worked at a bank with her, and we were, you know, I was like in grade school or something, and she just gifted us and brought over for like my birthday party all these, you know, mid 60s Stones singles, you know, 19 Nervous Breakdown, Get Off My Cloud, and all that stuff. And so that just, as soon as that happened, I got all
there's
the coffee.
A good fucking drum pattern to Get Off of My Cloud.
Oh, hell yeah. That's
you know,
I've always wanted to
do
a cover
Charlie's
of that.
You know what Charlie's doing there, right? Ain't that a cover. Trippy little movie's doing there?
Yeah. Now, that's one of the best drum beats ever, but I didn't have any drums, so I had to get coffee tins or whatever, you know, with the
coffee plastic, cans.
Yeah, with like the plastic lid you can put on, like a one-headed drum,
yeah,
you know?
Kind of Tupperware.
Yeah, so we start, you know, my brother started guitar at the same time, so we always played together.
Okay, but probably what, in the bedroom, right?
Oh, totally. Playing
drummer,
with records, playing with Kiss, and,
well,
you know,
the
Jennings, you know?
Well, the drummer, that's usually the prac pad because they're moving the shit around, you know, and maybe their parents are more acclimated to the fucking bam-bam.
Yeah, eventually I got thrown into the garage, so that gave them a tiny bit more relief.
Okay, I want to play some more Supplemental Pills here. I want to play Gun Be All Right.
Toot.
What have I got to give you and me? What have I got to give within me? You'll get all that you see. What have I got to give you and me? What have I got to give within me? There you are.
Watt for Pedro show. That chunk of music. Started with Supplemental Pills doing Gonna Be All Right. Then we had Cloud from Sawako Kosei Komatsu. Zach Rose and Brand New, There You Are. Giles Corey with No One Is Ever Gonna Want Me. Benji Johnson, Big Ass Truck. Guided by Voices, Huddled, Babes New York City. Oh, sheep. So, how did Supplemental Pills meet up? I mean, I read the fucking thing, but I want to hear from you guys.
We got together. My brother is the other guitar player. I guess it started with Mark, the drummer, and we talked years ago. He lived in San Luis Obispo, and we talked about putting a psychedelic band together at some point.
San Luis Obispo, but you're in Portland, Oregon, right?
Yeah, so he eventually moved. Okay. The plan was that he was going to move up here at some point anyway. And so he finally did, and Aaron was also in a band of mine called Hearts of Oak, and I just said, hey, man, you got to start playing bass in this band now. Because we all like the same kind of music. I mean, it was just, it kind of made sense.
He didn't take that article out for the bass yet? You told him to get to put that article?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Right? When I asked how he got on bass, he said he ran an article, but I didn't know he was told to get on bass and run that article. Okay.
No, when I first started, when I was a young kid, I got my first bass by trading a guitar for a bass.
But this is way before?
Oh yeah, that was way before. I got started in this band was Ezra and I were already in a band together.
But you weren't on bass.
No, I was on bass in that band.
Oh, you were? Okay, so he wanted you on bass in both bands.
Yeah. Okay. I'm mostly a bass player.
I'm learning. You know, I wasn't really there, so you guys, until I get this mind read and shit together, you gotta use words still, because I'm weak.
You're doing it.
Okay, so you guys already had a band. And what fate? Were you guys still in school?
No. We just kind of put this band together, I would say, in the last 3 years.
Okay, so you're that first band I was talking about.
Was
he there going to college?
No, this was all after that. We got together after those days.
Okay. I'm just wondering when I think of San Luis Obispo, right? Cal Poly, right?
Yeah. I was in different bands back then down there.
A lot of reggae bands.
That was hard. That was hard because the band I was in was kind of like a harder, kind of alt country punk rock band that just, it was really hard to fit in with all the reggae party people.
Right. The scene in Slowtown is kind of reggae, right?
Yeah.
It ain't Bob Marley reggae, though. It's more like Sublime reggae. Nothing wrong with that.
It's definitely not the cooler kind.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's trip. It's trip finding out. Everything is not exactly the same and stuff. But you made your way up to Portland, home of the Wipers. Not a lot of reggae. Smegma. Okay, and fucking Dead Moon.
Pierce Arrows.
Yeah, okay, Pierce Arrows, right, later on. So it's all kinds of trippy stuff. I remember when Minutemen first played, there was only one club in the old days, it was Satyricon.
A guy named
George ran it, and he looked just like Carlos Santana. And Deepu went through the fucking deck. He kept playing all up to the armpits, okay? And Greg Sage was at that gig. He was up against a bulkhead. I wouldn't shit you. He was up against a bulkhead, and he had a kind of a headband on. And it looked like he had chemo or something. His hair was real wispy. And it was such a big deal for him to be at that gig for us. And we were trying our hardest for him, you know. And we got to talk at Mike King's pad. I think he had a band called Snake Pit later on. But he's the guy who actually painted the cover of Is This Real, and had that painting on his bulkhead of his pad. And that's where I finally realized, oh, wipers, like windshield wipers. So I was thinking more like butt wipers and shit. But that's a trip, you know. That's a trip. And then, you know, Tacoma had Sonics, and I mean, there's a lot of good rock and roll Northwest stuff. And, but the gig, Supplemental Pills. I mean, who names the band?
That was Ezra.
That was me. Yeah.
Okay.
He kind of used that name before for little one-off stuff, huh?
Yeah, I used it just to describe a certain type of music that this other band we were playing, but I took it away from them because we weren't really using it too much. So,
I mean, you by yourself, man alone.
Yeah, because we were struggling to come up with a name for the band. So,
yeah, this name from just using it for like one-off stuff and shit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And it starts you in the bassie, and then what, you bring your brother in?
Yeah, my brother, I was just having a conversation with my brother who I used to play music with years ago, but he got out of it, playing wise at least, and he expressed interest, and I said, well, shit, you might as well join the band. I mean, all of our musical interests are pretty much the same as far as the five of us now, so it's a pretty easy band to...
Oh, well, we should talk about the keyboard, right?
Right, Ron John, yeah.
Okay, and how'd you meet him? And he's the newest addition. He's not on this album, right?
He's not on the first album. He will. Yeah, he's going to be on this next one that we're putting out soon. But he's an old friend of mine. He his name is Ron John Data. And he hit me up just randomly, and he said, hey, I think your band needs an organ player. And he's a funny guy, but I got what he meant, and he's right. We did need an organ player, and he's been awesome. So,
you know what? Four Piece just went to an organ player, old friends of mine, the Meat Puppets.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ron Stabinski, this guy from Pennsylvania, right? He can play like a motherfucker. And Kurt is so into it.
Nice. That's great.
Told me,
yeah,
you
man.
Know, he never, all these years, never really played with a keyboard guy, you know, and maybe some overdubs in some studio, but to have a guy in the band, he says this, and you know, they got Derek Bostrom back on drums.
Yeah.
So that's a trip. Right. So, okay. First Supplemental Pills gig.
The first gig that we played was at a club called the Kenton Club here in Portland. And it was outside, I think it was it a year ago? Because of the pandemic, we kind of got stalled playing live. So,
sure,
you know,
sure,
went.
Sure. No, I read about the thing. That's kind of how the Proj, right? You guys would come to hang out.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely contributed to it. Yeah.
Yeah, we are, that record, the Volume 1 record, is a lot of it is just jams that we've just heavily edited into songs.
You know about Miles?
I know, I do. Yeah, Maceo Parker, right there. He's the inspiration for that kind of idea.
The on the corner and the
yeah,
smiles, all that, Miles smiles, and bitches brewing. Yeah. They're big jams that got edited down, right?
Yeah, Maceo. Yeah.
Right, and I got to do that with
Teo Maceo.
Sacred Trust. They did the same thing years ago. They were going to do this live record the night before. The bass player hairs out. So, hey, why would you play? And it was the same thing. It was like, and then they even had me rent a, the only time I've ever worn a tuxedo. And I fucking can tell that on the recording. But, yeah. And I took a little, you know, cut out the filler or whatever, the dead zones or whatever. Interesting that way. And, Tao. Yeah, I'm thinking Macy. I'm thinking alto guy. Macy, probably.
Yeah, right.
Right,
yeah.
When brother Steve told me Ig wanted him, you know, for Funhouse Stooges. Yeah, I want you to sell.
Oh, really?
Macy on L.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what brother Steve was trying to do. And he did a good job. of
I did.
It. Yeah, good job of it. So this Kitten Club gig. Now, how'd it go?
Oh, it went pretty well.
Like, for example, the material. You said you guys were, like, just jamming, right, and putting together the stuff. So what'd you do for that gig? Was it, like, kind of a jam, or was it tunes?
Yeah, it was tunes, because at that point we had already kind of figured out songs, because, you know, we just started rehearsing the end result of the edit, kind of, so to speak. So we were just, at that point, we were just playing the songs that we had created.
And, Yeah, what about this? You got kind of a genre identity? What do you call it? Psych?
Well, or what? Yeah, psych or drone rock.
It's drone, kinda, that's it's, the word. That's the word.
Yeah. It's we're doing a lot more like
droney blues.
Yeah, we're almost doing more like droney blues these days.
But that Kitten Club, was that drone blues?
To some degree, yeah.
And what,
yeah.
How'd it go over?
It went great.
Success?
Yeah, we've had nothing but great shows. We just played yesterday in the Music Millennium parking lot.
You've never had shit thrown at you.
Yeah.
Not yet. Not in this band.
Not yet. We'll have made it if that happens.
Yeah, really. I've been through that a few times. I don't know. Such a righteous fucking thing. I mean, well, it depends what kind of shit they're throwing at you, or literal shit, you know, or used
or
condoms,
dogs.
Or I will say this: batteries hurt. I got hit with D.
Oh,
D,
shit.
D
fuck, man.
I think it was D cell or C cell. It was one of them.
Yeah, the D's will knock you out.
Man. Yeah, well, it was right in the chest. It was, in fact, it was.
Oh God.
41 years ago, playing with Flipper. Which I just started helping these guys.
Yeah.
So you never know down the road, you know. I'm pretty sure they didn't throw the battery. But Stains was on that gig too. They were a great band from East LA. You know? Right. But so I always wonder about the first gig because you can always have that first. You know, I forgot to ask you guys. First records you bought with your own money.
What do you think? It was either AC/DC or Kiss when a long time ago. And I think I bought the cassette.
Okay.
Or traded some toys for it for a friend. I don't really remember specifically how I got them, but.
Well, you ain't got a lot of money when you're a kid, so that's why I asked that question.
Yeah. I don't think they came with the albums or the, you know, it was just the cassette.
I think I bought, my first record was Thriller.
Mike Jackson, yeah. Good one.
Mine was, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath on cassette. And the first Pretenders record.
I saw that tour. You bought them both at the same time. I saw it at California Jam. They opened up with Killing Yourself to Live, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And
Pal Jam. I remember that. I mean, you know.
Yeah, Ozzy didn't stand in the middle. It was on the side. The guitar, Tony was in the middle.
Yeah,
and he's clapping during the guitar solos, and he's a real cheerleader. Beautiful. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, August 14, 2022. Dish of Wapito, so special guest, Supplemental Pills. Hold tight, hour two. August 14, 2022, it's the second hour of Wat for Pedro Show.
Your name. And you, I think about killing you every day. Yeah, you may not remember me, but bet your last fucking dollar I remember you. you. I hope they put a fucking curse on your name. And you, I will never let them forget your face. 'Cause you may not see me now, but motherfucker, I see you. Looking for some peace. Just looking for some peace. Just looking for some peace.
Walk for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Supplemental Pills doing Freedom March. Ben Salter out of Tasmania. After that with The Delay, brand new from Chat Pile out of Oklahoma City. I Don't Care If I Burn. Gong Splat. That's John Dwyer. Some instrumental music. Excuse me, yeah. And Gleddy Prime. The Equations Collective with Gut 3.3 from Hellasong Sessions. Okay, so now you got this album, right, Volume 1, but then you put out a... It seems like the songs, it came out on a single, too?
Yeah, we put out a single first, which was Gonna Be All Right and Feel It.
Right, and then, which ended up on the album, too, right?
Yeah, they ended up on the record.
Yeah. Right, right, right. And where'd you guys record them with?
Where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, we're in the basement of my house.
That's bitching. I love the way people are doing that nowadays, making their own records. I mean, really, you can do that nowadays, people. And there's skills to doing that. Why, such a division of labor. Why can't the guys be making music also be capturing it? And so... What kind of setup you have?
I actually kind of run a recording studio here. I've ran it for the last 20 or 30 years. And so a lot of bands in Portland record over here. It's just a basic basement kind of. There's a control room and a studio, like a live room to record in. So that's what we do. And I just pretty much have the microphone set up permanently. And we just set them up as needed and just roll it, you know.
Is it also the practice pad?
Yep.
Yeah. You got a name for the pad?
Oh, yeah, it's called the Deer Lodge.
The Deer Lodge. Okay, that's what it says here on the Skype.
Yeah.
But it's got a little fucking deer. It's a Doug Fir in Portland, right? There's like a lodge.
Yeah.
It's like a log cabin kind of. Motif. It's a tell, too, I think. You didn't record it all at once, right? Was it bits, chunks?
Yeah, it was over the course of, I don't know, several months, I'm sure. We ended up doing just recording jams. We were going to be just an instrumental kind of psych band, and then I just started to apply vocals to some songs, and then when I heard something that sounded like a chorus, I would edit that in and, you know, try to keep it numerical, you know, in tempo and that kind of thing. And
what's that band, Explosion in the Sky? You got something like that, all epic, but then you changed, you had a sea change, huh?
Yeah.
Because of the words.
Well, I think one of our core tenets here is no rules. So it's
that's
like
the rule?
If we feel if no rules, if there's, you know, if we feel like it's drifting in a different direction sound wise, we'll go with it, you know, if it's not too ridiculous. But you know, that's how things kind of evolve here is that, you know,
but you do, but
we don't really put any chains on it,
but you do give it this, like I asked before, psych drone, you put those names to it though, right?
It's kind of generalized categories.
It's a little bit of rule. It's not Partridge Family.
Sure.
Partridge Family.
I don't think we're going to come out with Peruvian acoustic guitar music or anything.
We try to keep the songs to like one or maybe two chords.
Yeah. Okay. people make fun, right? Oh, three chords. But actually, there's a lot of songs with just one fucking chord. A lot of Stooges, right? TVI and Funhouse.
I was going to say, Stooges loom large here, so,
Yeah, so, you know, three chords is, like, kind of complicated.
that's like Prague, man.
Right, getting all Prague. Well, what about this floating mountains over rivers?
Speaking of Prague.
I mean, it's just a coincidence, but it's trip that this song I want to play is coming up that did get a little, got a little party.
That song is cool because it was actually a song. That was one of our actual songs that Aaron, our bass player, wrote that.
Let's talk about the Supplemental Pill process. Like, yeah. What, one cat will bring something in, and everybody rallies around, or what? Does somebody make a demo, or?
Yeah, definitely.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both, yeah. So that one came about because Aaron had it in his back pocket. It was going to be an instrumental, and then I asked him if it was cool if I just put some words on it, and he said sure. So that's what that song turned into.
So it actually is a collab.
Yeah, totally. Just
bring it in the spiel. Yeah, let's listen.
Memory tells one thing, everything must go. Memories tell us 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 one thing, everything must go. Everything must go.
Your soul. The only thing you've got.
Watt for Pedro Show, that chunk of music, Floating Mountains Over Rivers, Supplemental Pills, then Psychic TV after that with Greyhounds of the Future, Ray Shin, Death Wears an Ascot. Raymond Pettibone's pop used to wear ascots. It's a little, these fucking little trips, right? In the, like hiding your neck.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I guess if you get a big old goiter, then, yeah, why are you wearing that ascot? Because you got a big old fucking goiter. And then SLW.
Ascots are dangerous, man.
Oh, yeah. Watch out. And BB Jr., Bob Bucko Jr., with Hum With Me. And, so, you said something about another record. That's what you're doing now, or this is
pretty much we're pretty much done with that. We just need to add final stuff to it and then get it mastered.
This is the baby that includes the keyboard too, right?
Yeah.
Right. Same kind of process.
Does he? No, this one was completely different. This one. This one was all demoed out. My brother Joel would write a lot of songs on guitar, and then him and I would demo them, and I would do lyrics over those, and then we eventually started playing those songs in the band. So that was the second album's a little bit different. It's more song based stuff.
Did some of the songs mutate from demo mode once the band started chiming in with their?
Definitely, yeah.
So they were like kind of like skeletons or core trips, and then got developed by the band. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They
were, and even kind of were jammy at the end and stuff. Yeah. So yeah, there's definitely some improv stuff in there. Yeah.
Well, the band started with a jammy thing, right? So maybe that's part of Supplemental Pills. You're always going to have that kind of element, even as like for starting points, right? Maybe the demos, like anchor points.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not
totally.
Maybe if you're always jamming, you keep coming up with the same jam. So maybe it's good to have some directions like your brother.
It's good that everybody can bring in little ideas. And
was this the cat when you were younger? Is this an older brother on guitar?
Younger.
He's a younger brother.
Yeah.
Okay. And who had the older brother? Who had and you were the singer? Was that you?
Yeah, that's me too. Yeah, yeah, so I've got an older brother as well. Yeah.
Okay, so you're the baloney.
I am.
You know who told me that? Scotty. Yeah, Scott Ashton and the Stooges, that, you know, said one time the mom was saying, because Kathy, right, was a young one and Ronnie was the older one. And she said one time, he tells me, yeah, my mom says to me, Scotty, you're just a baloney. So now, like, we're doing an airline you know, airplane ride and shit. Who's got the baloney seat, right?
Yeah.
So, wow. Ezra, in a way, you had the baloney seat. Now, and I don't think it's always lame, because they say the baloney seat guy or woman is kind of the accommodator. They got to make sure everybody gets along, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So those are good skills. You know, instead of the baby, right, always get in the way, and then your number one son's going to inherit, everybody's going to work for him. There's the baloney cat. Right? Yeah.
Baloney's essential.
Yeah, the baloney cat. Yeah, you know, well, not by itself, though, man. Baloney, that's like pounding a glass of sand. You need some fucking mustard, right? A little bit. Don't knock the fucking mustard. A little bit. Getting these ham sandwiches in Europe, and like, oh man, it's like pounding a glass of sand. You gotta, it's, you know, I'm gonna be 65 soon, and yeah, I've done my share of cooking, and I've learned about this acidity, right? And fucking mustard can bring that. You know, you don't want everything to be all Marlon Brando, right? You need some fucking, some fucking tang in there, and make your chow a little more edible. Anyway, we're getting off the beaten path here. Sorry about this. This is a fucking supplemental pill spiel.
Now I'm hungry.
We'll get into your dietary shit in the third hour, because we're done with the second hour. August 14, 2022 edition of Watt Peter. So special guest, Supplemental Pills. Hang tight, power, feet. August 14, 2022. Third hour, Watt Peter Show. Show started off the third hour. Supplemental pills. The wizard was right. Or correct. You know, the left, right, and Italiano, right? Sinisteria. Yeah, there's this fucked up thing, right? If you were born the other way. What the fuck? Yeah. And then we got a bunch of stuff by this Dutch label, Gertrudia. And they do a bunch of good stuff. And so Bad Petty with KYS, Tewksbury, City Antago, Elegy, HD Sports Channel, and Alphine from Those Foreign Kids and Treasure of Grundo, Curl of Glaciers, The Beardy Durse, Dead Poncho, Selker y Bringu with Durago, Aurora, and then finally, Dirt from Music for Freight Elevators. Now, what about when it comes to the producing thing? Would you say Supplemental Pills is self-produced, or you, Ezra, being the studio man and with experience, would you consider you're the producer?
It depends on. I would say I do some of that, but I would. I think as a band, we kind of self-produce our stuff.
Dream by committee?
Yeah, it's definitely a by committee kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, I'm doing a lot of the mixing and a lot of that
engineering
by myself, but everything else is kind of by committee. Yeah.
What's the big test? Do you bring the fucking USB stick in the boat or the van and You see how it sounds over the V8 motor. It sounds good in there. It sounds good anywhere.
That's right. Yeah, if it sounds good in the truck, then that's cool. I mean, I try to listen to it across a lot of different platforms.
Well, the trip, right, mixes that translate, because not everybody's going to be in that pad where you mixed it.
That's right. Yeah.
There's going to be earbuds. There's going to be crop top tiny speakers involved. Yeah, all kinds of.
Man, this is his years of mixing experience comes in handy.
It's such a trip nowadays, right? Like the word you said, Ezra, platforms. That's the way it is, right? It ain't just the stereo.
Right.
Remember they used to have stereo stores?
Oh, yeah, man. Cal Stereo,
I remember we had here.
We had stereo superstores here in Oregon.
Yeah. Pacific Stereo was one. All these. One was called Madman Munts or some shit. Like, this guy wore a Napoleon hat, was out of his fucking head and shit. But all that went out, and, like, all this, everything was components, right?
Yeah. You know,
some kind of wood grain and big-ass speakers and all that stuff. And that all went away. And now a mixer man has to mix for all these different kind of sitches. But I still think the boat test, I mean, if it sounds good in the van, it'll sound good anywhere.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
You got to be over that motor, the tires, you know, like on the interstate doing some miles per hour. If it's going to sound good there, it's probably going to sound good in the other things. And there's nothing like, I love bass, you know, I'm kind of prejudiced that way. But, man, you can Bogart, unless it is reggae. God, we just lost Family Man a few months ago. I got to see him, you know. I got to see 1979 Bob Marley. Family Man was bad. So was Bob, though. So was the whole band. The band was fucking tits. It was beautiful.
Cool.
Loved it.
Cool.
So you do a mix for the guys, and then they come back and tell you what they think of it, right? Now, I remember this one guy telling me, I thought the bass was too loud for the mix. He says, why? I've never had somebody tell me to turn them down in a mix. It's always turn me up. Is that experience with you cats?
I put it on a drive. The guys can listen to it whenever they want, and then they could tell me. I've been doing it for so long that it's like I kind of know what it should sound like, and I think the other guys kind of tend to agree with my hearing.
Yeah, whatever tweaks you do, they're usually minor.
Yeah,
I remember one time coming in, it was Total Access. Flag was doing, In My Head or Loosen Up, one of those. You know, this is not a lot of automation, so you used to have dudes help out on mixes with fucking sliders. But this wasn't like, this was like a war, like who's going to get over somebody else, you know, and snare drum part or guitar. Yeah, it was bizarre. What a way to fucking bring it. Look, is this a real person? Mary Marrakesh?
No.
Okay. Let's listen anyway.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Supplemental Pills with Mary Marrakesh. Then Porch Sunshine out of Hamburg, Germany. Distance. And finally, Dog, well, plus Dog colon A plus. So I don't know how you pronounce that fucking thing. And Counterfeit Thinking. I think they're out of Connecticut. That's quite a song there. And what's up ahead next for the Supplemental Pills? Well, putting out this record, right?
Yeah.
And then what about tour?
Yeah, we're talking about doing that in the spring or maybe next summer, yeah.
Now, Supplemental Pills, they never have tour, have they?
We played a show in Seattle a couple of weeks ago, but that was our extent of getting out of Portland. We haven't done a ton of shows, really, yet.
Right, because the project was kind of born out of the situation, right? And now yep. It's starting to open up and get out there. And,
yeah.
So what's up first, Bend?
We could go to Bend, no,
I played Bend once.
Have you? Yeah. It's cool. It's a cool little town. We're talking about maybe getting up to Seattle again and maybe also doing Bellingham. Is that what we were saying?
Yeah, Bellingham. Bellingham.
Who ended up his last days in Bellingham? Bernie Worrell.
Oh, no kidding.
I wouldn't shit you. Organ man for fucking P-Funk.
I'm wearing a Funkadelic shirt right now.
Well, I was going to almost get to make an album with him, and then the cancer took him. And he got to play with me and Jay when we did our version of Maggot Brain. He was just happened to be in the hallway of Baby Monster
in New
York City. And he said, hey, Mr. Worrell, would you play? And what I did was, talking about Black Sabbath, I used the chords, but the rhythm I used for the beginning of War Pigs.
Nice.
Doom ba doom, da doom ba doom, you know, doom ba. And I remember Bernie, Mr. Worrell saying to me, you know, it's kind of like a dirge, huh? I said, yeah, you got it. Because you know what I heard was George Clinton told Eddie Hazel, you know, the lead guitar man, his mod died. Yeah, right. To get that feel. Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what a trip. So, kind of a dirge. And you can hear that the whole band was playing too, but when it came to mix, he just muted and stuff like that. Something that ever happens like that with you, Ezra, like the mix kind of takes over from whatever the performance of the band was?
Yeah. I mean, it kind of depends on a lot of different factors, you know, the kind of sound that you're getting from the guitars or...
Well, you know what? You know, what about Piper at the Gates of Dawn? It figures you'd like a record like that, right?
Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah, right? And the way they mix that, and I guess stereo was kind of brand new, so it's really severe. And they don't really have synthesizers yet, so they're doing sound effects with their mouth.
Right.
Yeah. Doi, doi.
Yeah,
doi. Yeah, I've got a bike, you know, and all that. And, but that's not really the Pink Floyd that sold all the records. No. What I like, though.
One of the guys was missing.
Yeah, one of the big guys. So I can't wait to, but what about tour, like you get out of, besides Seattle, maybe you bring it to California, come down to
Yeah, we're talking about
You know,
that.
There's a club in Pedro now, yeah. The Sardine, you could play in Pedro.
We could share
the stage in Watts Town, okay?
Okay, you set it up and we'll be there. Mike.
Yeah. So like an I-5 tour or something, right?
Okay.
The rest of the country is tough, but us people on the West Coast, we got to stick together. And where can people find you on the internet? Is there a Supplemental Pills website? There's a Bandcamp page.
There's a Bandcamp. Okay. There's a Bandcamp, and we've got Instagram and Twitter, I think.
All that corporate shit. You don't have your own, though. One day you're going to get your own site, because it'll be like having your own fanzine. But in the meantime, you can put up the
website.
You can staple up them flyers up on the corporate telephone poles in the meantime.
Yeah.
Right. It's been beautiful, though. When you guys get this next record out, will you come back on the show and we can do a blow-by-blow debrief on each tune?
We'd love to.
Okay.
We're talking to
you. Yeah. Okay. That'd be beautiful. So besides playing with Watt, this Pedro Town, we're going to talk about the fucking next album. Okay. It's a date. Thank you so much for coming aboard. It's beautiful having you aboard. Please keep on keeping on.
You too, man. Okay. Thank you.
Will do. August 14th, 2022 edition of Pedro Show. People, keep your powder dry.